All right. Hey, everyone. This is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM, 102.7, 103.9. And still coming at you here from the center of this universe. And that, of course, is Clear Creek County, Colorado. And we're celebrating a special day here. And kudos to Empire. Yay. Yes. We got some celebration to go on here. And in a few moments, I'll be talking to Mojo and Margie and about the gravel pit and our old friend Hans and how he was leading all that there. Before we get into that conversation, though, I do want to thank both Guanella Pass Brewery. They're up there in Georgetown. Delicious local eats, a dog-friendly restaurant, and homemade brews on draft at 501 Rose Street in Georgetown. You can learn more just simply by going to guanellapass.com. And the Historical Society of Idaho Springs, celebrating the history of the Idaho Springs area through operations at three museums and the Idaho Springs Visitor Center at 2060 Minor Street. Learn more at historicidahosprings.com. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation. I've been spilling, and the word's been passing around the county here. I'll let one of you to start. And just what is the scene now? May it rest in peace, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely. I'll let Marjorie go ahead, please.
We are really excited. We found out on Monday that the Douglas Mountain Mine project that was proposing a 20-year gravel pit, taking out hundreds of thousands of pounds of gravel out of the plateau in Empire, has been defeated. We are just thrilled to see what we have done, what a grassroots organization with some local people that were passionate about maintaining the plateau in Empire and preserving the wildlife, what we did.
Yay. Mojo.
Yeah, I think coming back to the beginning of Friends of Clear Creek and a group of concerned individuals about, passion of really Hans Berg. I mean, he had everything planned out and trying to give us his vision and stuff like that. And he co-sponsored with Marjorie and myself, we founded Friends of Clear Creek. And we started out just with a letter writing campaign, asking people to write letters to different agencies. And then we finally got our nonprofit. And here we are with a reward of some hard effort of some unique individuals that preserve something that has been pretty much given to us in stewardship. Mm-hmm. To preserve for the bighorn sheep and other wildlife that use it as a migration path between I-70 and US 40.
Okay, and the nonprofit is Friends of Clear Creek?
Yes, sir.
And that's staying in existence?
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, even though your mission might be shifting a little bit, we'll come back to that, though. And just a refresher, how far back did this proposal first come down? Was it, memory fails me now, was it 6 months, a year ago?
No, we were notified back in May of 2018 that the town of Empire was having a little meeting that was being put on by the developers of the Douglas Mountain Ranch project, that they came in and they showed us their billboards and their potential for this property. And there was, about 30 of us?
Yes.
At that meeting? And we were fired up and mm-hmm. not in a positive way for this gravel pit. So that was back in May. After that, there was a few of us that hung around afterward, and it's like, we are not going to sit still on this. We've got to fight this. So that's how Hans, how I got to know Hans and Mojo, and I'm going to cry because it's a big deal. So in the last year and a half, these amazing people from a small town came together, and it wasn't just about a gravel pit. It was about a family being developed that was willing to fight against this gravel pit. But since then, the 30, 40, 50 people that have come together to fight this have turned into one big family. And so it's been a year and a half worth of work, and it's been a huge effort from a ton of people.
Yeah, and the community effort that, you call it, is a family there. And, because, we look around, there's so many things that could divide us, on the politics, whatever, whatever. And it's something like this, mm-hmm. when they come after your home, And we all realize this is our place. So it doesn't matter in that sense where we are on the political scale, socioeconomic, whatever, right? This is home. And we start to draw together and we find out we have a whole lot more in common than we do in differences.
Yes.
Yeah, it strikes a hard note because I left Clear Creek County in 1980. Coming back at 40 years, I grew up in the love for the nature and the environment. And coming back now and looking at it, I've been back 2 years now. And unfortunately, there's been so many changes for development for the good of the county.
Yeah.
And we live in this narrow canyon that has limited flat space. And I've seen it now coming back that as a disabled vet, I can't even afford to come back and live in the county that I grew up in and served my country for. And looking at the development and everything like that, we're pushing away all the wildlife that I remember 40 years ago, the elk herds on the plateau and the bighorn sheep and everything. And we're pushing away with noise pollution, ATVs, Jeeps, and everything like that. So this is a pristine little area that it made sense not really to take gravel and sand and add 300 trucks a day towards Denver for 20 years. We're having the problems with the environment here in Clear Creek County because we are a Superfund site, which Clear Creek County is listed as a county. And we look at the expansion, and I guess I'm going through more culture shock coming back home than living in Germany for 20 years.
Yeah, and boy, what a gift we have had, right, Margie, for Mojo to come back in here and bring his leadership and energy and so on. And let's talk about the area itself. When we talk about the wildlife, specifically what you had mentioned, Mojo, for example, elk. I don't see any elk around here anymore, but there's still plenty of others like bighorn. What all participate, we'll say wildlife, in that arena there, that area, that would have been cut off, shut off, maybe, you know, blanked out, that they couldn't even exist anymore?
Right. Yes. The bighorn sheep reserve that we have, it's actually the tier one bighorn sheep population in the state of Colorado. They migrate between Georgetown over through Empire and up into Bertha Pass and also actually down into Clear Creek Canyon as well. So the migratory route goes right along Douglas Mountain. It is the bighorn sheep population that people see as they're driving along I-70, that we're having the 14th annual Bighorn Sheep Festival in Georgetown next week is about this bighorn sheep population. So big, huge thank you to Colorado Park and Wildlife because they stepped in with this permit to the Department of Reclamation and put in a very strong opposition letter. I just finished reviewing it again, and it is 14 pages of the detrimental effects of this gravel pit if it would have gone in. And they were saying it would have bisected these two big herds, would have probably limited their ability to reproduce, and would have been really detrimental to the bighorn sheep population. So that was the big one. But also on that plateau, we do have elk herds. We've seen moose, bear, lynx, tons of different.
Coyote, we have deer. We have a member that lives at the base of the plateau, and he has a little cabin. So he put up some game cameras, and they were camouflaged. So he got some really nice action shot of the wildlife that used that corridor. I mean, black bear. I mean, we've got photographic evidence. And also the other thing is if you look at CDOT and at their animals that were hit by vehicles, that's one of the biggest areas right there in that triangle for the bighorn sheep population that we have. And, you know, this is the oldest herd. It's the biggest herd. And they cull the herd to transplant these sheep into different areas within New Mexico and Colorado. So there is a very vital link to the wildlife here and the protection of the limited areas that we have for the preservation in Clear Creek County for wildlife.
Yeah, and Marge, you had mentioned about the Department of Parks and Recreation, or was it Natural Resources? Natural and our good friend Tim Mock is number two there. And I remember talking to Tim a few weeks ago on the air here about their efforts. And the governor has stepped in as well. And talk about that, because that's huge right there, about what he has said about wildlife migratory patterns and, like you said, about reproductive, because they need the mite or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm very thankful to Governor Paulus. Back in August of this year, he signed an executive order that was to specifically preserve the migratory routes of our wildlife and their habitats. So it wasn't specifically written for Empire and that plateau, but it was specific to it. So we're very thankful to Governor Paulus for really taking an interest in what Colorado stands for. You know, nature, wildlife, the beauty that we see all around us. So that was just huge, and we're very thankful what he did.
Yeah, and that's
a big statement of coming here to Clear Creek County to sign it.
Yes.
That was like the frosting on the cake right there.
Yeah. And it's because we're like kind of ground zero here. And we think of Clear Creek, you know, we're sandwiched between, in a sense, there's Denver Metro and then there's ski country. And we're this little enclave right in there. And, you know, people are discovering more and more. In the past, people just shoot through to go to Winter Park, Breckenridge, wherever. And he realized that, I mean, it's right here. We have a treasure trove. How do we protect this? And so what do you think this sends a message? It creates something here for the larger Clear Creek community in terms of development, protection of our treasures here. What are your thoughts on that, Margie?
Yeah.
Mojo, whichever.
Mine right quick is to invite people to go to the Clear Creek County website and read the master plan, the development plan and the protection plan of Clear Creek County. And when you just read that, and that's kind of more environmental, hey, we realize we have limited areas for development. And if you look at Clear Creek now being opened up for tourism and inviting ATVs and inviting the Jeep traffic up in the Forest Service, I mean, these people come up here, they park their cars, they get on their ATVs, they have their lunch, they have their drinks, they go to their destination, they spend 3 to 4 hours up there, they turn around, load their ATV on a trailer and drive back to Denver. And really, as an income for us, just as a witness, they closed down Winoa Pass to car camping because it was so totally abusive to the environment and the scenery of Winoa Pass. I remember it 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and now you look at it and it's like, oh my God, the scarring of trees, halfway cut down trees and people leaving their trash and buckets of whatever. You know, it's, the people don't appreciate where we live. It's like an amusement park. They spend a day up here, they amuse themselves and then they go back home. And I think if we do proper protection of environmental areas, like for Empire, Hans's goal really was to try to develop the Empire area and the trails that were used by the pack burros for ecotourism, not to promote motorized tourism, because we already have that around Empire, North Empire with the National Forest, and above where Margie lives up at Bar Creek the same way. And we're finding like an Empire alone. These people will come up to the ball field, park their car, and then access these roads that they shouldn't be on with ATVs because they are county-maintained roads to access the National Forest. And, you know, I've been up at Bar Creek camping, and unfortunately people leave their trash. Mm-hmm. I've had three times I put a fire at campfires out that weren't properly done. So I think it's more of a education and preservation of what we have right now.
And I wanted to ask you about that. And so what's your thinking then, how to address it? Okay, you can certainly do some legal, you know, like, you know, put a ban on whatever, but people want to participate too. So it's not necessarily all bad. How can we educate people, move them towards understanding that, A, it's great, we want you out in nature, mm-hmm. so nature's there for, and she welcomes everybody, okay, doesn't matter, but we also have to do our part to protect it, because we're no longer where George Jackson was, you know, 150 some years ago, right? You know, when he discovered Idaho Springs and gold here and everything, that we are charged with protecting this environment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is all land that we have the blessing of being a part of and being stewards of. You know, it was created by a loving God that wants us to be good stewards of it. How we educate people, I don't know. Maybe it's just word of mouth. You know, it's helping people say, you know that quiet recreation is probably the way to go. We love people that come in here and bike and hike and snowshoe and cross-country ski. So that would be the best use of the resources that I think we've been given. But again, I think it's just, you know, educating people one-on-one and helping them realize that we are stewards of a planet that needs to be well taken care of and well loved.
Well said there, yeah.
Yeah, I think really it's time right now to shout out an invitation. On November 9th, we partnered up with the Georgetown Loop Railroad, and we're going to be handing out hot chocolate, hot cider, and cookies, homemade cookies, just to give out information about the next phase of this plateau. Our hope is to do fundraising with different nonprofits to purchase the property outright and preserve it as is. And if there's a path that goes over the plateau that's open an hour before sunset and an hour after sunrise and shuts down an hour after sunset, like Clear Creek Open Space, the parks that we have or the areas that we could utilize as is, I think it promotes a lot of the tourism, mainly for Hans had this layout of a Greenway bike path going from, you know, the Empire Junction and then taking the bike ride up into Empire. And it was pro-tourism, but it was responsible tourism.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the Fall River and St. Mary's and Alice on the weekend, you've got a lot of people hiking up there, eco-tourism. But the problem is there's not enough parking up there without affecting the residents' privacy in solitude, the reason why they lived up there. So I guess that's where I'm going more is to, tourism's great, but it has to be responsible tourism. And we're fortunate in Empire to be a preserve for the wildlife and a refuge on the backside of I-70 in between US 40. So we're really happy, and we'd like to ask people, if you're interested, come on up on Saturday between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and we'll have a little information booth and volunteers from our organization describing what the next step is. And I think it's more the organization of other nonprofits that preserve habitat and wildlife habitat, you know, just for Bighorn Sheep Society.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the backside of what they're responsible for, the Adopt a Highway program for trash pickup and that. So the preservation of that whole area from Republic Mountain, Lincoln Mountain, Democrat into Douglas Mountain, it's all wildlife habitat.
Yeah, and before we lose that, and we'll come back a little before we wrap up, because we do want to promote your visibility there in Georgetown at the Bighorn Sheep. Where specifically will it be up at the depot itself, somewhere else in town? Or
yeah, what? It's on the Georgetown's Devil's Gate station.
Okay.
So we're in partnership with the Loop Railroad. Thank you, Georgetown Loop Railroad, and also Colorado Parks and Wildlife. We'll have some representatives there. I think they have three trains that day. And we'll be opened up at 9 o'clock till 3. And I think the last train, or they close at 5 p.m. But once again, we invite people to come on out. We are a nonprofit 501c. We do accept donations for our cause. This is all run by volunteers. And this is a way for us to say thank you to the community by just being a part of the community and giving things away, you know.
Yeah, that is awesome. Congratulations on that. And encourage people. And before I lose the thought again, Margie, if you wouldn't mind, send me a email with a PSA on it that I could just print out and have here on the desk so we could promote it, and certainly call Doug and get him to promote it on the morning show here too. Just remind everybody about this opportunity there. A couple of suggestions that have come to mind listening to you here. One very specific, you know, I mentioned like the book nook that I put on at the Georgetown Heritage Center during the Christmas market. How about Friends of Clear Creek at Christmas market somehow or another, either right on the street there, just handing out flyers, or set up a little booth inside the Heritage Center, just get a hold of Paul Boat and Sarah Smith at the, and perhaps you just have a table there, I don't know, but we get a lot of traffic coming in there now, and what a great way to start handing out literature, promoting this. And that kind of leads into this other, we were talking earlier about Friends of Clear Creek. And, you know, will your focus shift now? You know, what is your emphasis? And maybe to grow it to, when you say Friends of Clear Creek, you're not saying Friends of Empire or Friends of Douglas Mountain, right? You're saying Clear Creek. So that's the whole county. That's the whole community. And to start bringing about what I call a change in consciousness and awareness. Margie, you did a magnificent job there of saying what, you know, has been created for us and what our job is as stewards of the land. Because I really think that the most people, you're always going to get a few out there who are just going to do what they want to do. But I really believe most people want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't realize that they're not doing the right thing. I think it was some years ago, I had climbed Bjørnstjerne and I was on my way down. There was a group of young people and they're sitting there having their little snacks. And as I'm chatting with them, the one young man was peeling his orange, and he took the orange peels and stuck them under a rock. He started doing it. I said, "What are you doing?" You know, and he says, "Well," and I went, "No, no, they don't biodegrade up here." And you know, he felt, "Oh my God," you know. And I said, "Hey, I'll carry him down." He goes, "No, no," and he grabbed him, put him in his pack, you know. And it was an educational experience there. And so I think my point is that I think most people want to do the right thing, they just either don't know, or they're not aware of the fragility of zones just like we're talking about there. And, you know, to, you know, anytime, every Saturday, people are coming up, they're parking right there in your neighborhood. You got, you know, a sign right there, or, you know, just little flyers you stick out and say, "Hey, visit our website," that sort of stuff there. I get to see this growing. Your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, when you say that, I immediately think of the organization of Leave No Trace.
Oh, okay.
Great
yes.
organization, and yeah. that's exactly what they do, is educate the community on being good stewards of the natural environment. So they've definitely got a link on that. And I think Friends of Clear Creek, when we originally were brainstorming on the name and the logo and all of those back-end things, it was, this is a Clear Creek County organization. It's not the town of Empire. It's not mm-hmm. Georgetown. It's from top of Floyd Hill all the way to Silver Plume, all of those boundaries. So I just wanted to definitely make note of that. And in regards with that, of what we can do as a community, just seeing how we fought the Douglas Mountain Mine Project through our community, we had, I think, over 300 opposition letters go to the Department of Reclamation Mining.
Yeah.
And that was from people from all over our community. What we can do as an organization to preserve this wonderful county and the mountains and the trees and the animals, we're just really beginning. I did hear some crazy statistic that by the year 2050, Denver will grow by like 3 million people.
Yeah.
Holy schmoly.
Yeah.
You know, and we are in their backyard. So if we don't make good decisions now on how we're going to protect our environment, what we're going to stand for as a county in regards with our tourism, our economics, all those kind of things, if we don't make a stand now, we're going to get run over by the bus.
Right.
And it won't be pretty.
Or I-70.
Yeah.
And the buses on it and everything too. Yeah, you're right. Mojo.
I think we're already seeing something. If you look at or just Google ATV problems, rural communities within Colorado. Marble right now thought that to give access to ATVs would be improve their economy. And the problem was that people just used it as a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at what's going on right now in Clear Creek County, we have to have responsible development and preservation of certain areas. And I think right now, if you look at how many rafting companies have a permit in Clear Creek County, It's always promote, 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 but then that creates this backlog of cars parking, and I think it's going to be the same thing behind Bojo's and the Vintage Moose. People will park their cars and then carpool to skiing because of the closeness. And, I mean, if you look, you could go down to downtown Denver on the Mustang for $5. So we're encouraging tourism both ways, also promoting people to live up here because they could use that bus service down to Denver to get to work. So if we look at the development and the lack of affordable housing and stuff like that, I know the idea is to build, 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 but we also need to look at what we're in control of for preservation for future generations.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the parking, you know, for example, behind Bojo's, the big lot, and across the town here, and that's what Idaho Springs, I believe, is addressing here with the paid parking, that this is what ends up happening. People come up, and they just leave their vehicles, and off they go onto a bike race up Mount Evans, and then sometimes come back and, you know, and have a repast at Bojo's or Tommy Knocker's or something, you know, spend a few dollars, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
you know?
See, that lot in the wintertime's open, so yeah, there's no charge back there. So it'll be interesting with the commission that they have that's looking at the paid parking and the parking problems here. I guess that's what we're trying to prevent up in Empire, because we are a small little town. And we have limited areas for parking. But, you know, during high season, we've got 6,500 cars a day going back and forth, yep, through 3/4 of a mile of pristine natural habitat. And hopefully we can look at different issues like the meg chloride that CDOT's using and killing pine trees right on the side of I-70. They used to be fluorescent red last winter, now they're dead. Yeah. So I think looking at the environment and preserving what we have,
right,
that is our goal now.
I remember, because I ski all the time over at Winter Park, Mary Jane, and years ago, I remember driving through town and we were constantly being stopped, which you want to do it because just the foot traffic crossing there in front of the Hard Rock and so on, and pretty dangerous there. And so, you know, slow down, stop, you know, allow for pedestrians. You got the great signs there. But literally there were townspeople there just handing out little signs or stickers or something, you know, like, thank you for driving through. And, you know, it could be business promotion too, you know, but also a little sticker, you know, like Friends of Clear Creek, you know, whatever. Again, so much of it is awareness. That I, you know, if we come back to the philosophy that the vast majority of people want to do the right thing, we may have different ideas on something, but, you know, it's like how your whole town, the whole community came together, as you, Margie, you described it as a family, and protect your home. Because it doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, agnostic, Christian, whatever. Right? This is, we're all living here. And, you know, if someone falls on the street, everybody's right there to help him or her, you know. And you do the same for your home and your neighborhood, and to keep fostering that. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. You know.
And it is like that. I mean, when people lose things, there's that neighborhood and the communal thing of helping that person out in a time of need. And I think what we're doing is pretty much that for the wildlife and the preservation, is using our voice to get people interested and educated. Because, you know, it's like Hans said, we need to build an army. And you build it by people that are interested, task-orientated, and passionate. And we have a group, and I thank this group because it's been therapeutic for me working with this group, because it's a learning experience. And not having the friendships and family, I have it now. And that security of being able to rely on people that are passionate with the same thing, I can't describe it in words. I really can't. I'm very fortunate to be back.
Awesome. That is so beautiful. And we mentioned his name a few times. So, you know, really, so much of this energy, it was right there beginning with Hans. and that passion and how much we miss. Yeah, that beautiful picture. You can't see it. We're on the radio here. But this is a fantastic picture. Really, do you have this up on the Friends?
Yes, we do. It's on our website.
And it's just Han sitting up on the overlook at his place there, looking out over towards Guanella Pass. And, I mean, he's in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And he doesn't need a crown. He doesn't need a robe. He doesn't need a scepter, anything like that. He's in his collapsible, you know, tent chair, you know, camping chair, and just in bliss in heaven.
Yes.
I mean, like heaven on earth here. Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think he lived in North Empire, just outside of Empire, to the access road to the forest up there. And what a wonderful light in my life when I met him. He was the first person I met in Empire with furniture on strapped on top of my SUV, and he said, "You moved to Empire?" And I said, "Yeah." And with that, he pulled his car over and he helped me get the boxes out. Yeah. And from there, he invited me up to his cabin. And when Hans had an idea, all he did was just wanted to listen to it, because at the end of the conversation, you were impressed.
And you better hang on, because you were going.
And that was one thing about Hans, is he had a way to be passionate and show it in a very positive, emotional way. And that's what our whole core of Friends of Clear Creek is, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And I love that energy and this success. I get goosebumps thinking about it, because we did the David versus Goliath kind of a thing, you know, grassroots, say, over our dead bodies. And that's how Hans thought about it.
What a great biblical allusion metaphor there, because what did David use in his slingshot, right?
Yes, stone. Yeah,
a little piece of gravel.
Right.
And, you know, and so before we, you know, and because I wanted to ask you before we wrap up about, you know, what any efforts or thoughts, you know, like recognizing Hans through this whole effort and everything there too, in a more permanent there. But we want to also be careful that while you have won a tremendous victory here, it might not be forever either. So we have to be aware and on guard. Can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. The property owners have been very respectful through this whole process, and I will give them kudos on that. They have listened to us every time we've knocked on their door, every time I've made phone calls to them. They have been very respectful of Friends of Clear Creek, and knowing that we had two different agendas in mind. Whether a gravel pit will raise its weary head again, I don't think so, but we don't know for sure. We do know that the property owners do want to develop this plateau into something. What that is, again, we don't know. What the Friends of Clear Creek, the stance that we are taking is we are aggressively pursuing funding to purchase the plateau. We're looking, again, as Mojo had said, talking with different nonprofits within the county and within the state and actually nationwide as well, to find the financing to buy this plateau to preserve it for the generations to come. So we will see. We know that we've got some great momentum, and that's the direction we're heading. And we will continue to hope and pray, which our group does, that the property owners will come alongside us on this. So we'll see how that is all going to come down. And one thing that is truly a part of my heart and everyone, I hope, that's in Clear Creek County is the Easter Seals Rocky Mountain Village Camp, which is literally, 400 yards across the highway from this plateau. And they would have been so negatively affected if this gravel pit would have gone in. So Friends of Clear Creek, a little bit of our vision as well is to secure it as open space and potentially put in some handicap accessible trails on that plateau for the campers that come to the Easter Seals. So we've got some big visions. We've got some big goals, which, you know, now that we've won this battle, we'll continue to move forward, and a grassroots organization can do a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so we're extremely fired up.
Yeah, I think the recognition side of it, we had a campaign from June until September, and the CDOT Adopt a Highway program was available from Empire Junction through Empire and then right at the entrance of the Arapahoe National Forest. So we organized a trash pickup on the third Saturday from June to September, and we had, what, five pickups? Yeah.
Wow.
In June, we had two. Mm-hmm. But it, mm-hmm. the amazing total of trash that we picked up, and for that, within the 3 months that we worked, was 71 bags of trash.
Wow.
Six shredded tires, a hard case from an ATV that blew off of a ATV, and then six big piles of stuff that we couldn't put in the bags that CDOT provided. So just imagine how dirty on the side of the roads and how disrespectful drivers are, you know, throwing out their trash. And it was amazing, and it was a learning experience. And on September 21st, we had World Cleanup Day, and that was our last pickup. And after that, we had a picnic at the Ballfield Park in Empire, and we have that in memory of Hans. For 2 miles,
nice.
There's a sign that says, Friends of Clear Creek, memory, loving memory of Hans Berg. And Hans was a person that had a drone and photographer and that, and he had already developed a pathway system from Empire Junction up to Empire with overlays and that. So he was definitely a person, a visionary, and somebody that was definitely motivated to think outside the box for Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. And, you know, one area in Georgetown I love to run around is the Tom Benhoff Trail around the Georgetown Lake itself. And, you know, and how many times, you know, I go around and I'll grab a bag and, you know, and by the time I go around, the bag is already filled and it could be fishing lines and it could be lures and whatever. I remember it was a year or so ago, I just happened to walk down and there was a young man, I believe he lives right here in Idaho Springs, and he was so frustrated. He was dredging a tire out of the lake itself, down towards the dam area there. Mm-hmm. And then last week, I was speaking with our old friend Sarah Street and about her new endeavor there with acupuncture in Georgetown. But and I recalled, was it last year? I think it was, or 2 years now, memory fails. But how she organized a group and we cleared up Clear Creek flowing through Georgetown itself. And it had about 40 people show up, and it was great. I still have my boots. I can't get out there. I'm too old to get way out there. But you get the young people, the men and women, you know, you can get out there in the middle of the stream and they're just pulling up, you know, automobile tires and, you know, fenders and whatever. People just, and it was like, what are people's heads? Why do this here? But, you know, there's always going to be perhaps people like that and they're just indifferent. But I really come back to the vast majority of people want to do the right thing. And if they're shown how and given the opportunity and approached the right way, another idea here about, when people are, if you're contacting them that are using the trails around you, the ATVs or whatever, not just give them a notice, but an envelope that they could write a check and make a contribution.
Love that idea.
Definitely, because then they have buy-in and say, this is what's going to help preserve this so you can come out and enjoy this yourself. So use it, yeah, because it takes money.
There's a number of organizations like Solve, and there's an organization that has like-minded, you know,
yes.
morals and thoughts, and their mission statement is parallel. So I think it's just the coordination and the awareness. And we invite people, please, come to our website at friendsofclearcreek.com. And you would be updated and also could read a wonderful story about Hans and the initiative for our organization. And you are able to donate per PayPal. If you want to help us out in the fight of protecting Clear Creek County's environment.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Solve, and because I know Jim and many other folks live up there on Floyd Hill, but come together. So like the idea of maybe Georgetown Christmas Market or even next week, you know, to have all the organization under an umbrella group of some sort here that are working to preserve. And a word that I would also use, Mojo, you were describing as responsible development, responsible community, but a healthy one.
Yes.
Using
yes.
that term, healthy, yeah. you know, and take what we do for ourselves, our body, our minds, our psyches, everything, and apply it to the land around us.
Right.
And the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're going to be able to, we're going to have a fundraising event next year, and it's going to be an eco-fest, more like a county fair.
Okay.
With the information booths from different organizations and companies and stuff like that that promote The protection of the environment, the use, the correct uses and the awareness of the environment and what to be aware of. There's something, hey, it's like a neighborhood watch program, I guess, what our organization is. So we invite people, please look at our Facebook page and look at our website. And it's fun to meet people. I mean, we're asking for volunteers to show up on the next week on Saturday, just to tell people from around the world that are using the Georgetown Loop Railroad, getting a ride on Bighorn Sheep Festival during that day, but they're leaving a little bit more informed. And a concerned citizen is an active citizen.
It is. And don't forget the contribution envelope.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because it's a buy-in. This is a one little thing. You know, it's $5 in an envelope, but I have vested interest in it. Mm-hmm. And people want to do that. So, I mean, I just encourage you, you know, keep doing it there. And also, your idea, you know, next year about a larger community, eco awareness, whatever, think big and coordinate here with Greg Markle, whoever, and get K-Goat involved in that because we can broadcast remotely. So,
we'd love to have you there as a sponsor.
Yeah.
And, you know, get the word out about the community radio. I mean, this is something that we are fortunate to have here in Clear Creek Radio. I mean, Clear Creek is K-Goat Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the diverse opinions and music and everything. And it just shows how much and how special and what we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thankful for K-Goat, you know, because we're able to talk to people and get the word out about different functions and about different concerns in an unpolitical way. And, you know, what we're just trying to do is preserve a herd that somebody put work in preserving before we got here.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to encourage you, too. I keep coming up with ideas. So
great.
It's like
love
I keep giving people more work. And I go like, you know, like this. And, you know, and then people go, okay, I got enough of my plate. And I go, I get it because I have enough of my plate. But one of the, using the Clear Creek Current, because a new direction, because I've stepped away now, like from writing my opinion pieces after 16 years.
And I miss you, by the way, on doing that.
Oh, thank you.
I always loved reading your pieces.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a labor of love, but it's time to step aside and allow it. And I love what Mike Hicks wrote. He's the editor-in-chief, if you will, and how they are encouraging community members, so community voices, to periodically submit pieces. And I'm more than glad to edit them for you. So if you write something and, you know, 600 words promoting Friends of Clear Creek, promoting your next endeavor next summer, whatever, or just periodic reminders in some way, I'm always glad to edit it for you, just help you clean up the language,
fabulous.
You know, tighten it up like that and get it in there and use the current as well for this, because that's what Mike wants to see and hear more of in this paper.
Well, Corinne's done a wonderful job.
Yes, she has.
I mean, her and Margie have pretty much an open red phone. I mean, Margie, they have a direct
speed dial, right?
contact. But no, Corinne is a great asset also. She covered the Adopt a Highway program back in June. So, you know, I think it's just creating things for people to get involved in with. There's different passions. Charlie's Place, I love it, you know, protecting animals and stuff like that. But
and it's right
please,
there too. By,
please get
yeah.
involved and be a part of this community because we're looking for people with experience. If there was an environmental lawyer or somebody that could give us legal advice and stuff like that, we're a small little organization, but we have so much potential and we have a big purpose and a big reason to do it.
I have someone you can reach out to. She is going to be retiring as our state legislator, who is also the Speaker of the House.
Casey
right
Becker.
That's her bailiwick. I'm almost positive it's in environmentalism, but she is an attorney, and she's term limited, so she's got one more year, and Casey loves stuff. So if you don't have her contact, I'll get it for you. Get in contact with Casey and say, okay, what can be done here, you know, even in her time still remaining in the office, but also afterwards. And if she can't do it, she certainly can point you in the direction of someone here.
Yeah, we were fortunate to meet Casey when she was up here for a town meeting last year. So
yeah.
Marty and I had the privilege of meeting here and having a couple minutes just to explain.
Nice.
Well, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And kudos to Casey Becker, because her team actually wrote a very strong objection letter to the Department of Rec on this mining operation as well. So she was huge in getting this thing shut down. So thank you, Casey Becker.
Yay, Casey. Yeah. And it's great. You know, and I get chills just sitting here just having this conversation. Yeah, it's about, you know, the Douglas Mountain thing, yada, yada, and the gravel pit and so on. But the larger issue we're talking here is about the community itself. And now we're talking about, you know, your event next summer, perhaps, you know, and bringing in the radio, doing more with the newspaper, talk about our state legislature. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Tim Mock. You know, everybody who does. And when you start thinking of it, you say, holy mackerel, this is really amazing stuff that's going on.
Yes. Well, and we are so very blessed to live in a small county where people can make a difference. What is it, like 10,000 residents?
Yeah,
give or take,
I think,
ish?
Yeah.
You know, so we're so blessed to live here. Our work makes a difference. Our voices make a difference. And the more people that we can get rallied together to go walk the lake and pick up trash, you know, or I just was thinking with the Adopt a Highway, is like you see Adopt a Highway signs like every few miles on almost any road. Right. And if we as a community or just people in general would think, hey, that means I need to pay attention to what I'm doing to the community.
Right.
You know, is that cigarette butt going out the window? Is, you know, whatever, just to make us more environmentally aware. So there you go. When you see those Adopt a Highway signs, take note.
And thank the organizations that are doing it,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. It's really giving back a day of service, you know. Mm-hmm. A day of sacrifice, maybe 2 hours, mm-hmm. or even an hour. It's the good feeling that you did something. And, you know, I just love, I've volunteered for a number of organizations, and the Pack Barrel Racing Committee in developing that program and helping out where I can. It's a passion of mine because I worked in the travel industry in Germany for 17 years for the government. And coming back, it's therapeutic for me. I'm recovering from PTSD, and I'm able to focus on something, be task-orientated. I have mentors that have given me incredible advice in that, and that helped me heal and recover. And that's a big thank you I want to give to Clear Creek County and what I've been involved in. And it's a bunch of passionate, concerned people that I could definitely link up with and say, hey, I want to be a foot soldier.
Very nice. Yeah. No, it's a great, amazing stuff here. So I'm so thrilled, so excited, and honored, truly am, that you two would come in here. When I got the text from you, Mojo, the other, and the first thing was, we got to talk about this on the radio here, you know, and you got right back to me and said, yep, we're there. And Margie, you coming in is adds to the beauty of it as well there too, you know, to get, you know, your perspectives on it and insights and, you know, and your enthusiasm to say, okay, it's done now. We can, you know, sit back on our haunches. Oh, no.
No,
this
we're
is,
not.
It's just starting to get away.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, it's something, Margie, I want to piggyback off of when you said about us being stewards of the land, something I say to everybody in a way, put us like, you know, a product on the supermarket shelf. We all have a shelf life. It's called our lifespan.
Yes.
And probably we're all older now. In 30 years, all three of us will probably be, no longer be part of this existence. However, those children that are now, you know, 2 and 5 or 8 and 10 will be in their 30s and 40s. What are we leaving them as we hand off the batons to them, you know, to protect us here? Because if we don't, and once it's gone,
it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So final thoughts?
No, I just want to thank you so very much for allowing us to come in and spend a little bit of time, and we're just blessed to be here, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Jerry, just right quick, I want to thank everyone that participated in the letter-writing campaign that we did. Without your help and your concern and your time to sit down and put pen to paper and make this thing grow, it isn't really individuals, it's the team, and I'm looking forward to the future of this organization, pairing up with other organizations and make it more dominant that we protect our environment and the habitat that wildlife have here in Clear Creek County.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, and I love this, and we'll do it more. Okay, so maybe like in the spring when you start to firm some stuff up on the event, you want to come back in, talk. Yeah, just got my number, right?
All right.
Yeah, 1-800, call Jerry. sort of thing there. One last time, contact information, website, Facebook page, and then reminder about your event next Saturday.
Yep. So one more time. All pretty easy. friendsofclearcreek.com. If you want to reach us, friendsofclearcreek@gmail.com. Same Facebook. That's pretty much it. And you can plug the Bighorn Sheep.
Yeah. Once again, November 8th on Saturday. November 9th on Saturday between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. We're in partnership with the Georgetown Loop Railroad and the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And we're going to be giving away hot chocolate and hot cider and homemade cookies just to say hello and be neighborly. And communicate with people about our concerns and what we've accomplished and just getting the word out to build that army, as Hans would say.
Right on. And yeah, that's a great army to have too. So, all right. And reminder, I am recording this. It should be replayed Tuesday at the same time, so between 1 and 2 o'clock. But I will have it on my website, so I'll send you the link. Margie, you want to get it up there. Just a heads up on that, because you always, you know, people miss it or, they weren't able to tune in till halfway through, or, you know, they got out of the area and left it too. So you can hear the rest of it there. So, all right, everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM 102.7, 103.9. We're visiting here with Mojo Lucas and Margie Kaspari here talking about the situation up there that has been resolved happily now. And they're slapping hands right now, high-fiving. I love it, you know. And just to be aware and everything too. So, all right, I will be back next week and with more. So in the meantime, be kind, be safe, and love one another. And here we go. All right, take care now.